Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it. It is yet another hot and muggy night here in Osaka. It's going to be this way for quite some time. So, you know, settle down, grab a fan, get a nice cool glass of iced tea. Actually, if I may say, you folks are lucky that I'm here today. Don't worry. No, I haven't had any terrible accidents. Nothing horrible has befallen me unless you count fatal distractions. I got my copy of The Sims 3 this weekend. If you don't know The Sims, you're probably better off, and it means you probably have a real life. Those of us who play The Sims on any regular basis, well, we are creating lives of other people that are more interesting than our own. At least that's from my experience. You get a little people you can control, you can manage every aspect of their lives, and really, it is good fun. You know, you get this feeling of godlike power over this little computer-generated creature, and The Sims 3 is the newest rendition of this particular type of game. I was a huge fan of Sims 2, and now I'm on Sims 3, and I'm exercising remarkable restraint in not just saying, oh, forget the podcast, everyone can take a week off and playing the game. So, there you go. You should thank me. So, last week I gave you a clue to this week's book, and it was a line from the poem The Hollow Men by T.S. Eliot. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper. Which, in retrospect, is kind of an unfair clue, considering how I've already told you that I've got sort of a penchant, if you will, for apocalyptic end-of-the-world novels. However, I did get a correct guess, for which I am very grateful, out of Spain. Esteve, I hope I got that right, I can't be sure, took time out of his busy day, watching his children and taking care of his beloved wife, to let me know that he believes the book is Death from the Skies, These Are the Ways the World Will End by Phil Plait. And he is correct. So well done, sir. Now, go back to your family. They do look like they are a rather demanding bunch, especially that four-year-old. Anyway, so yes, he was correct. It is Death from the Skies by Phil Plait. I really like Phil Plait. He's kind of a cool guy. So I had a good time reading this. And the reason why I'm reviewing this so soon after I read it is because this book made me really excited. In fact, I found myself trying to explain this book to my students in English class. Now, I don't know if any of you have studied a foreign language, given the number of people from Spain who are listening. I'm going to guess many of you. What would you think if your English teacher was trying to explain gamma ray bursts and how supernovas work? I really hope that they know what they're doing. I like to think that I know what I'm doing. Japanese people are very polite. A lot of them smiled and nodded, but I have a feeling in their heads they were saying, what is he talking about? Why isn't he teaching us English? That's the kind of book this is. And like I said before, I've always found the end of the world fascinating. So many cultures have just put together their own ideas of how the world will end. There's the Norse Ragnarok. There's the Christian apocalypse and the Hindu cycle of creation and destruction. We live in a world, if you think about it, that was, for a very long time, unpredictable to humans, and on many occasions seemed to be outwardly hostile, you know. Our ancestors faced floods and earthquakes and disease and famine and drought with no idea where these things come from, why they happened, or even how to stop them. So they did the only thing they could do. They made myths and stories to explain the dangerous world in which they live. And from that, they then extrapolated, well, what if the world is this dangerous now? How dangerous could it be if it really tried? And so came our myths of a world that not only succeeds in hurting us, but wiping us out altogether. Even in the modern age, we've got our myths. Books, TV, and movies, they all use the end of the world, or at least the end of a world, to tell stories, you know, usually about the resilience of mankind and our ability to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and rebuild human society, hopefully for the better. As good as this is for fiction, there are really two problems when we try to apply these myths and stories to the real world. Number one, the world will end, one way or another. And number two, no amount of heroics, cleverness, or pluck is going to save us, not, you know, in the long term anyway. Science has accomplished what religion and fiction could not. It has seen the future, and it can make fairly accurate prophecies about how this world and our civilization upon it will die. Now, I know a lot of people predict the end of the world. There's regular end of the world predictions. There's a whole bunch of people who think that the world is going to end in the year 2012 because of ancient calendars, which nobody uses and nobody cares about anymore. But that's not science. That's speculation. That's massaging of information and a few educated guesses and a website. Science is different. And in this case, we have renowned astronomer Phil Plate, who is your prophet for this trip into all the ways the world will end. Now, in this book, Plate looks at 9 possibilities for the end of the world as we know it. I'm sorry, the end of the world. I have to get that in there. They are death by impact, death from the sun, death by supernova, death by gamma ray burst, death by black hole, death by aliens, death of the sun, death by galactic collision, and death of the universe. In each chapter, Plate outlines the ways in which that specific event could, or will, injure or, in more likelihood, kill us, with as much science as he can comfortably put in. He explains, for example, why we can't just send Bruce Willis up in a space shuttle to hit an incoming meteor with a nuke. Well, mainly because it probably won't work. And why any black holes produced by the Large Hadron Collider won't do us any harm. He looks at how a supernova happens, and what it is about a black hole that turns it into one of the deadliest weapons in the universe, and then tries, very, very hard, to make the reader understand exactly how long forever is. I'll give you a hint. It's a lot longer than you think. No. Longer than that, even. No. Keep going. Right. Each chapter outlines the process by which we could experience the destruction of our civilization, or, in a few cases, the planet itself. He looks at the scientific foundations of these events, explaining in great detail what it is about the sun, for example, that makes it a cauldron of chaos and torment, or why we really, really don't want to get even a small black hole anywhere near this planet. And I have to say, of all the unlikely ways we could be toasted, my favorites, gamma ray bursts. Nothing to do with the Incredible Hulk. These suckers are deadly beams of energy from thousands of light years away, just cooking the planet all the way down through the crust and utterly devastating the planet's ecosystem so as to kill off anyone who was lucky or unlucky enough to be on the other side of the world at the time. I mean, wow! And there'd be no warning, either. By the time we knew what was happening, it would be too late. So that chapter, with, by the way, a line paying homage to Douglas Adams even, that chapter's just mind-boggling. And that's not even my favorite chapter. That's just my favorite way to destroy the world. My favorite chapter is the one about supernovas. Mainly because Plate's very careful, step-by-step description of exactly how a supernova occurs made me think, wow, what I wouldn't give to see that in person. Disregarding the fact that, A, the best parts happen way too fast for me to observe, and B, it would vaporize me. Still, it's a beautiful and terrifying chain reaction, which Plate describes in fantastic detail, with diagrams even. The other chapter that evoked the same reaction was the one on the end of the universe. Despite timelines for which the word vast is terribly inadequate, Plate tells us what science knows about how the universe will end. We have the ever-increasing expansion of space-time, the eventual death of the stars, evaporation of galaxies, the reign of the black holes, and then the slow, careful deaths which even they face. And it all ends in darkness. All matter gone into a few stubborn subatomic particles, the eventual collapse of the very fabric of space and time. And as bleak and as miserable as that future looks, I still thought to myself, oh, I want to see that. So if I can figure out how to live 1 Google years, that would be 1 with 100 zeros after it, and not have my very atoms decay into nothingness, then I'll be able to, well, be really, really bored, actually, since after that there is absolutely, I mean, literally nothing to do. Until the universe experiences vacuum collapse, or there's a brain collision, maybe hitting the reset button on the cosmos, and we get to do it all over again. Most of what's in this book really isn't new to me, but that's probably because I grew up reading Carl Sagan's Cosmos, and I follow countless TV shows, podcasts, and blogs dedicated to science, including, I'd like to plug here, Mr. Plait's own Bad Astronomy blog, which is excellent, as well as his regular appearances on the SETI podcast, which is Are We Alone?, and the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which I recommend for everybody. There will be links over on the blog, but in case you're wondering, Plait's podcast is blogs.discovermagazine.com/badastronomy. SETI is radio.seti.org. And then there's www.theskepticsguide.org. Go check them out. Listen to all of them. They're really, really good. But off topic. For people who are new to astronomy and new to astrophysics and cosmology and such, this will be a rather dense learning experience. But reading it will be time well spent. And in addition, by the way, to its user-friendly style, I really like the way it's arranged. It starts with small scale, relatively, to large scale, with things that are absolutely certain to happen at the beginning and end, with things that probably won't happen in the middle. And my favorite aspect of this book is that each chapter begins with a short vignette describing that particular end of the world from the perspective of someone watching it happen. It's not something you often see in books like this, and I'm really, really glad that Plait decided to put it in there. It makes it a little less, you know, academic and dry, and not that it is dry, but makes it more real, because it's fiction. You can think about that all you like. For all of its death and destruction and end of the universe, this book is not really a downer. I mean, for one thing, while things like asteroid impacts and the death of the sun are inevitable, they don't have to be fatal. And Plait does describe a few ways in which, in theory, we, or our distant, distant descendants, might be able to avert or at least mitigate these catastrophes. It's not easy, of course, but, you know, saving the world never is. It's mainly a marvel at the forces that surround us in the universe. It's very easy to forget, you know, looking up at the sky from our brief and tiny scale, that the universe is not just some pretty lights drifting about in empty blackness. Things are exploding and dying, burning and freezing, moving slowly and moving so quickly we can't imagine it. The cosmos is just replete with activity and danger. Most of the universe isn't just uninhabitable, it's actively hostile to life as we know it. And yet, without all of that, without the black holes, without the supernovas, the galactic collisions, without massive meteor impacts and breakaway comets and solar flares and radiation, without all that, life probably wouldn't exist at all. So read this book and take a moment to appreciate how lucky we are to be here at all, you know, all things considered. So let me give you a quote. As I said, I know Phil Plait mostly from audio work, podcasts and such, but he does manage to get his distinctive voice on the page. And he says, "They say that even the brightest star won't shine forever. But in fact, the brightest star would live the shortest amount of time." Feel free to extract whatever life lesson you want from that. So that is Phil Plait, Death from the Skies. As you can probably tell, I get really excited about this stuff. And as I was just discussing with the boyfriend this evening, I am a nerd. And I have several nerddoms. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you can probably tell what some of them are. Comic books is certainly one of them. But another one is astronomy and science in general. I am a science nerd. Now keep in mind, I don't have the math. As much as I love astronomy, if you asked me to name all the constellations, I can't do it. If you asked me to name all the stars in one constellation, I can't do that either. Does that indicate a laziness on my part? Yeah, probably. But I still really love it, and the universe is a place I would love to explore. So, read this book. All right, that's about it. I've gone a little long because it's a long, exciting review. So let me give you the clue for next week's book. It is a travel story. It's a road trip, or more accurately, it is a river trip. A 100-year-old story about what it's like to travel with your friends. So that is your clue. I hope you enjoy it. and send me your guesses. I was very happy to get my email this week. I'd love to hear more, so email them to me. If you're on Facebook, check out the fan page. Become a fan. We're at 71 fans and holding. If I can get up to a million, I'm sorry. 80 would be fine. 80 would be great. A million would be better, but 80 would be great. Come on over and become a fan. That would be wonderful. Tell your friends. Spread the news. Give me money. I keep doing that. All right. Brain-to-mouth connection is not good, so I'll just cut it off here. Thank you very much for coming on, and I'll see you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.